Today, we're going to be talking about Too High, which is how generally we would describe Joe Cook on any podcast. So, but in this instance, we're going to be talking about the Too High defense, which Ian has pointed out to me, apparently the NFL thinks should be banned. And we'll talk about why it should be potentially banned, just like the tush push probably will intentionally attempted to be banned. But Too High defense, this is a bit of a buzzy thing that's going on right now. Why would you consider this a buzzy topic, Ian?
Because it has become extremely popular in the NFL after years and years of single high and often man coverage being the common like best practice of NFL defense.
Yeah.
It is now increasingly Too High, or at least the appearance of Too High. We can get into that maybe in future videos, but it's been very effective. The NFL is employing tactics that have really been common at the college level for a while now, but they have actually probably been even more effective on the NFL field with its different dimensions and with NFL players than it is even in college. Maybe we'll get into that today, maybe not, but we're going to mostly focus on what it even is. So,
right. Well, let's talk about that specifically. I know we generally like to, what has been kind of the genesis of the Too High defense from a college perspective? Is this a response to more of a spread style offense? Why would defenses want to go to a Too High, I guess is the question.
Well, it's very balanced. Most defensive formations have two safeties, and in a Too High defense, they both stay high. They both stay back. And so you have a deep safety to either side of the field. It makes it harder to compromise the defense deep. And certainly in an era of spread offense where offenses have got really, really good at attacking down the field and over-leveraging a single deep safety, if you have two, maybe it's a little easier to stop them from doing that. That's a nuts and bolts. It's a considerably more complicated than that. But
that's fair enough. All right, so walk us through this. We are looking at a Too High mofo. So what we've got, our dollar symbol at the top there and our F, which presumably stands for free market. I don't know what symbolism you're using here, but why don't you walk us through this?
Too High, so two high safeties, they're high. It's not actually mofo, it's middle of field open.
Oh, all right. Let's still mofo.
Some people call two high coverage middle of the field open and one high coverage middle of the field closed. The idea is that both safeties are back and they both drop back to other opposite ends of the field. And then there's no safety in the deep middle. I keep pointing like everybody can see my finger.
That's okay. I appreciate it.
And the middle of the field in between them is open. But yeah, the F would be your free safety. The money sign would be your strong safety, and they are both high.
That's it. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you guys checking in each week as we discuss these various learning topics. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the Too High? I mean, it looks pretty simple.
I think one intricacy that we can get into today and develop more in future episodes is that a lot of times when people talk about Too High defense nowadays, they call it cover two.
Sure.
If you pull up your Madden screen and you're playing and you're choosing a defense and you see one where the two safeties go up to the top of the field, it'll be labeled cover two. Very few defenses play that coverage anymore. And cover two would be a zone where everybody that's below the safeties is in a zone. And then this strong safety would have a zone that's basically like on Madden, it would be a big circle encompassing half the deep field. And then the F would be pointing towards another deep circle encompassing the other deep half of the field. And that's not actually how these coverages work anymore. What everybody describes as Too High nowadays is actually quarters coverage. And quarters coverage on Madden would have the two corners occupying two deep quarters of the field on the outside, and then the two safeties occupying deep quarters of the field on the inside. But that's not what teams do when they play quarters either. The way that quarters coverages work is it's a system of if-then rules. And what makes it great is that these deep safeties will cover the inside receivers, Y and H, and they line up across from them. I might actually bring that back. It might be a little helpful. So the F will match the H, and the strong money sign will match the Y if they go deep down the field. If those guys do not run routes deep down the field, then they become free hitters, free players. And so they can help double team the Z and the X. They can sneak up and try and help against the run. They can drift and look for work, as it were, in helping the other safety on the other end of the field. I think some of our examples will demonstrate that.
All right, so let's look at a couple of examples. What are we seeing here, Ian? Let me just bring this up for us.
Before Texas played Ohio State, I actually wrote heavily on how they needed to copy the Michigan method, which is to play too high. And they ended up doing exactly that. And that's why basically they were able to be competitive in that game when Ohio State had been an absolute buzzsaw to that point in the playoffs. On this one, you'll see Ohio State motions the guys. So they have two receivers to both sides of the field. And the safeties are going to match the deep inside receiver. So one of them, the one on the top on the playoff semifinal logo, ends up staying a little bit shallower. And the one on the Goodyear logo has to run with his guy all the way down the field and even into what you would call the zone of the other safety. Because again, it's not a strict, I cover this space system. It's a, I cover this guy if this, and if not, I cover this guy or this guy deal. And the advantage is the balance of having two deep players. And you'll also even see Jahdae Barron, who's on the 30-yard line logo at the top of the screen, he also ends up in a sort of safety-type role where his guy goes underneath and he looks to help the other safety on his side of the field and then even to help the safety on the opposite side of the field. So you're about to see high-level execution of this and probably a sense of why this is so effective in the NFL when you have really smart, athletic players navigating the back end.
So let's talk a little bit about the transition that
this is incomplete, by the way. It's not a completion. So
no, yes, it is incomplete. So let's talk to me about, we can see right now our player here that's on that Goodyear logo. Tell me what's happening at the top of the field that helps with the support of this.
So the safety on the semifinal logo, his guy runs and turns inside right there. So he has to match that route and challenge that throw, which leaves the other safety more on an island further back, which is kind of hard. And you can see the receiver has a little bit of an angle where this is almost a completion. But because Jahdae Barron on the top doesn't have anyone, he notices and he also runs back there and doesn't end up necessarily impacting the play, but you see how quickly he got there. And he's able, theoretically, he could have tried to swat the ball out, or if he'd been there just a little bit faster, even contested the throw. But the other safety maintained a good enough angle where he was able to make a good contest and knock the ball out. This is exactly the kind of route combination you'd want to use to beat too high, where you try to have one route occupy one safety so that the other one is isolated, especially on something like this, a post route, because there's no post safety in too high defense. A post attacks the middle of the field, and the middle of the field is open. That actually almost killed too high coverage in college for a little while until teams just started developing rules like, well, what if that backside corner were to come over and help if he could? And things like that that just have made this defense extremely complicated to beat in college and the NFL levels.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker.
If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
On this one, the other common solution to too high defense, if you're the offense, is you say, well, if they have two safeties back, that means that one of them can't come down to help them outnumber our run game. So let's run the dang ball. Ohio State is going to try to run the dang ball on this play. And it's really that simple. They're going to run an inside zone slash duo kind of play. And the key is, you know, drive them back and pick up big yards. And if we can do that consistently enough, then we don't have to worry about the fact that Texas is crowding all of our explosive deep throws.
Let's have a look at it.
As you see, it does not work very efficiently because Texas was very good up front last year. And the three technique really helps to blow that up, which is Vernon Broughton, it looks like. This is why Michigan beat Ohio State 4 years in a row, is because they could do this while playing two deep safeties. They could still stuff Ohio State's runs. This is why Texas was competitive in that game, even though Ohio State had just NFL talent all over the place on offense. This is I've developed a sort of saying about this, which is that good defenses stop the run. Great defenses stop the run from too high. Because if you play too high, the natural thing for most offenses is going to be, well, let's just run the ding ball and impose our will. If you can't do that because the other team is too big and powerful up front, then you're left without any of the easy, efficient choices that college offenses like to make.
So if somebody's looking at this play and they're just looking at what the safeties actually execute on this particular rep, what we don't see is we don't see the safeties coming down and making the tackle. So why, for someone that's looking at it purely from that perspective, why would we use this as an example of too high? What does this, I know you just explained the idea of running into a too high, but talk to me about the relationship between what's going on with the safeties and what's going on with the people in the box that would allow this to be effective.
Well, the safeties don't necessarily help your run defense be effective. With the rules of quarters, sometimes they can get involved and limit the damage of these runs. Like you see the safety on the top is kind of getting there pretty quickly, even though he isn't needed to make the play. So when you have safeties that are really good at this and maybe even play a little flat-footed like he did, then you can either, if you can't totally stop the run with your front, you might be able to at least limit the damage and still make it a not terribly efficient option. But the main thing they're doing on this play is ensuring that Ohio State checks into a run. And you're kind of regressing the Ohio State offense, which has Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka at wide receiver. And you're turning them back into a 3 yards in a cloud of dust system. And Ohio they can't blow you out if they're 3 yards in a cloud of dust team.
Driving at there is the idea that you've got this safety configuration that has established its value in the game, letting the offense know that, like, look, this is now going to be an issue for us. Yeah. So them simply lining up in this configuration, as you pointed out, puts some pressure on the offense to just gain yards. And if they feel like the best way for them to do that is go against what was proven to be a pretty stout run defense, then I think you're set yourself up for success. Okay, great. Let's look at one final example in this, and then we can kind of get a better understanding of what's going on here. So talk us through this one here, Ian.
This one, initially, it looks like Texas is going to play single high coverage. And that's what they had been living in against Clemson to this point of the game. This is Texas and Clemson in the first round of the playoffs. But late before the snap, you see the safety on the bottom on the 30-yard logo is Michael Taft. He's going to bail deep. And then the safety on the other side bails super wide and deep into more of a true actual cover two safety alignment, not even quarters, like old-fashioned cover two. And so you have a too high coverage. And Clemson, because it was disguised, Clemson tries to throw into it anyways, and they find themselves in big trouble. And I believe this ends with Kate Klubnik being sacked, but we'll see in a second. Oh, no. He's able to get the ball out, but it's for a minimal check game. There's a game. The best defenses are able to play two high and single high coverages and then make the offense guess. So, like, as we'll get into in the single high video, maybe you want them to run into single high and throw into two high. And if you can get them that confused, you get a huge leg up, because it's like they're always doing the least efficient possible play.
And this might seem evident, but pre-snap, let's look at this. And what pre-snap, let's say Taft doesn't move, stays in this position. The reason we would know that this is single high is simply because we have one safety high. Is that fair?
It looks like he's drifting into the middle of the field like a single high safety would. A single high safety is not necessarily to either side of the field. He's trying to maintain balance in the middle to stop a post and then to be able to rally and help to wherever the ball ends up actually going. So you'll see this all the time. We'll get into this more in the single high video. You'll see the safeties, sometimes Texas does this really well. You'll see them start to drift just before the snap as though they were going to the deep middle. And then at the actual snap, instead they go back and they're too high. So that they try to make sure that the last thing the quarterback sees is the wrong thing. Mm.
If you were to put this into summation and say, like, what are one or two key tenets of too high that you'd really want people to understand? And I appreciate that this is very nuanced. At the end of this video, what would be the key things that you want people would take away from this?
Too high coverage is designed to free up safeties to congest deep passing lanes and force the offense to stay in front of them. So it's become a very high level bend don't break strategy.
Great. Well, thank you guys for being here. This has been Too High 101. We are very likely going to get into more detail into this as we move forward and how that works with other elements of coverage. But for now, thank you so much for being here. We really do appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.